Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With Danny, I'm Grant. This is The Fan at 11:18 today. Alex Cora was dismissed by the Boston Red Sox amicably, supposedly. Hey, we don't want to fire you outright, so just say that we're going to part ways. Okay, you got it. That's probably how that discussion went. Two managers and a GM out.
Gone.
In the electronic sign-stealing saga. We will get into that coming up in about 15 minutes. Should players be punished? They have been told they're safe. Nothing's going to happen to any of the players that were involved. Should that be the case? Right now, though, let's take our first look at the championship Sunday slated for just 4 days away in the NFL with our buddy Mike Jones of USA Today Sports. Mike, AFC, NFC title games, first glance, which one do you think ends up being a better matchup?
I think the AFC. I feel like when you look at the regular season matchup between those teams, the Titans actually won that game. I think it was 35-32, and I was in my head, I was thinking, oh, you know, Patrick Mahomes wasn't playing in that game. Then I went back and looked, and he actually threw for like 400-something yards and three touchdowns, and the Titans still won that game. So I feel like this is going to be a game where we're going to see a physical, you know, the same recipe that the Titans have used, physical rushing attack to keep the other team's offense off the field. Their defense is going to make plays and get key stops. And it's just going to be a matter of can Mahomes and company flip the switch when they need to. So I picked the Chiefs, but I won't be surprised if the Titans win just because of the momentum they have. And then when I look at the NFC, it's like you're going out and you're playing basketball against your big brother who taught you all the moves and he knows how to stop you. I feel like that's going to be Matt LaFleur versus Kyle Shanahan, who's just, you know, taught him everything. Robert Saleh knows everything that Matt LaFleur wants to do. And I think it's going to be really challenging for the Green Bay Packers.
Mike, speaking of the Titans, I mean, right now, the way Derrick Henry's running the ball, it's like Happy Gilmore playing basketball with the first graders, just swatting everything. I mean, it looks ridiculous. What's the underrated part of that, though? To me, it's how unbelievable this offensive line has been run blocking. And the idea that everyone knows it's coming, but nobody seems to be getting into the backfield at all. Nobody seems to be making contact with him until he's 4 or 5 yards down the field. The way that their line is moving people around is what's truly remarkable to me.
It is. And then what also is remarkable is when he gets to that second level, as big as he is, he makes some really amazing cuts as well. He's got great vision, so he sees those openings that they have for him. It's not like he's having to move a pile, bust through it, and then get going. You know, they've got great running lanes, and you know, once he gets going, it is, you see guys who they're hesitating to throw their bodies at this big 6'3", 250-something-pound dude.
Mike Jones is with us on Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. In the NFC Championship game, Aaron Rodgers proved last week that he's not dead in the water, that he's not done. They did get blown out by San Francisco. You referenced what happened earlier this year in the other game. I noticed no one's really talking about that. There was a big marketing push last night where we were referencing the Packers 49ers gem on Monday Night Football from a year ago when C.J. Beathard played, as if the last one didn't happen. How different could this play out, though?
Well, I was up in Green Bay for Sunday's game and talked to a number of players after the game on why this would be different. They said that in that game, they were really sloppy, their communication was off, and they just really got, you know, it ticking to them. But after that loss, they kind of went back, reviewed some things, figured out how to tighten some things up, and they said that they've really grown a lot from that game. You know, they haven't lost a game since that. 5 straight regular season wins, and then the 6th straight victory in the divisional round right there. So they feel like they're going to be a much better opponent. But again, Kyle's offense, I think, is more diverse. The things that they can do, and they just have that edge as far as knowing what to expect, how to prepare for it. And Kyle is, you know, a little bit more, I think, creative than what you see from the Flores offense. Now, the only difference is Aaron Rodgers does have that recognition and ability to go off script better than Jimmy Garoppolo. However, the San Francisco 49ers defense is just next level compared to, you know, a very good pass rushing defense of the Packers, but not great against the run.
Got to follow our buddy Mike Jones, at By Mike Jones on the Twitterverse, reporter columnist for USA Today, talking the foosball with us. If I'm at Denver, I wake up to the news of Pat Shurmur and I go, oh, okay, that's something. And then I look across the country and I see the unbelievably exciting coaching staff that Carolina just put together, and I'm annoyed. If you had an offensive coordinator spot that was open and you didn't give Joe Brady a call or a look, I think you screwed up, frankly. Am I just off base there, just a honeymoon period based on what happened in the national title game and this season for LSU?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't get all caught up in that. Again, that's in college where you have a bunch of guys on scholarship that are, you know, world-class athletes. And in the NFL, you don't have that much depth across the board like, you know, he had at LSU. I'm not surprised with the Shurmur hire because it's just such a Vic Fangio move. Vic Fangio is a no-nonsense, no-frills type of guy. You know, and so I think that that's the kind of offense. They're going to run the football. They'll set up some play action. They're not going to be super splashy or whatever, and that's okay. He's a defensive hard-nosed coach, and he just wants an offense that's going to move the chains, not have turnovers. He doesn't care about fireworks. The defense is going to win games for them.
At By Mike Jones on Twitter, if you're not following our guest from USA Today. The announcement made this morning that Larry Fitzgerald will return for the 17th season in his NFL career. How much game does he have left? I watched a little bit of the Cardinals this year. He's certainly not the guy that he was in his prime. Nobody would state that. But he caught 75 balls for 800 yards this year.
Yeah, exactly. I think that he still is better than probably half the wide receivers in the league. He's also a quality leader. I think that they feel like, look, we're going to continue to put more pieces around Kyler Murray along with Larry Fitzgerald. Kyler Murray's going to be a year better, and we're going to be able to still take advantage of the mental and physical gifts that Larry Fitzgerald has. And we're going to, you know, continue to see how far we can go with this. If you have him in your wide receiver room with a bunch of young and talented guys, that's an extra coach there. That's a strong leader. And that franchise has really valued him. And they just want to, you know, almost let's go on a run for Larry here and see where we can go.
With the teams remaining, everybody loves to do this, Mike, just depending on how they view football. Like a playoff game happens and they take it as a referendum that their view of football is correct, a.k.a. run the ball, stop the run, a.k.a. you got to throw to win, or whatever else. What lessons have you taken from the playoffs here so far? It's been a pretty diverse set of games in terms of game script.
Yeah, it is. But, you know, what you see time and time again is that the run game, you know, we talk about this being a passing league, but the run game is not dead. You know, the teams that are able to execute with balance, you know, even the Packers game, they really work to establish the run, and then they start taking it to the air with the play action. Then with the game on the line, Aaron Rodgers took over. But, you know, you look at the Titans, they're running the football. Then they can take some deep shots downfield thanks to the play action. You know, in the Seahawks, they struggled because their running back unit basically was decimated by injuries. A few weeks ago, we thought that maybe, I thought anyway, that they could make a run at the Super Bowl. Then they lost all their running backs and, you know, they fell off. I would love to have seen what they could have done with a healthy and young, explosive running back group. And so I think it's kind of cool to see that the throwback style is still here. It's tried and true. And, you know, it's interesting and more compelling that you don't just have the same thing with the Patriots there again. It's a new crop of quarterbacks and offenses, but they're still kind of, you know, kind of classic type of theme and flavor.
What did you think of Luke Kuechly's retirement after 8 seasons last night?
You know, it made sense. This is where we're trending in the NFL. That's 3 guys under 30 who retired now at their, you know, close to the top of their game. Andrew Luck, Rob Gronkowski, and Luke Kuechly. and guys are getting big contracts. They're making their money. They're getting out. And, you know, you can tell, obviously, Kuechly loves the game of football, but he also values his long-term health and safety as well. And so good for him that, you know, as Marshawn Lynch said, take care of your mentals, take care of your chickens, so you can do what you want to do.
What did that mean, by the way? What does it mean to take care of your chickens?
I didn't understand that.
The chicken, that I think that's what he means, like your money. That's your, you know, take care of your finances. And, you know, Luke Kuechly, I think he's made like $64 million. Obviously, he was smart with this, so he's got a lot of chicken, and he'll be able to eat even when he's not playing football.
See, I thought it was like take care of your children, like
that's
chicklets, like small. But then it was maybe like count your chickens.
Well, wasn't Antonio Brown in that awful tirade he went on social media the other day? Wasn't he saying chicken as well? It seemed like he was.
Dude, who knows what that guy was saying? I can't make sense of anything that comes from that guy. But
will
I
he play in the NFL again?
I don't think so. I mean, how can you? He continues to hurt himself. I mean, he video documented that thing and thought it was okay. And then
but
the other
Jones,
thing is,
he was doing ridiculous stuff before the Patriots gave him a shot. I mean, teams,
right.
They don't care if you're a maniac and you're a menace to society or a goofball. Nobody cares.
Can you catch a go-ball?
Well, one team, the Patriots, gave him a shot. And you notice nobody else called him up after this except for the Saints. And then after he released that rap song, bashing the Saints, that it was a lie. And then after that video there, I don't know who would even bother. You know, it's getting worse. And the sad thing is he had adults around him who also were taping him yelling and screaming and cussing out his baby mama and the cops. And nobody's like, hey, dude, let's settle down here and get you some help or something. That's the saddest part of it all.
Mike, always appreciate the time, dude. Sorry to end on a bad note like that. Thanks, man.
That's all right. I'll see you guys.
We'll see you,
Mike
man.
Jones, USA Today.
I got depressed when
out.
You were saying that. I was like, yeah, that's right. That is sad.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. Alex Cora dismissed by the Red Sox. Two managers and a GM now fired over the signs-stealing scandal with the Astros that carried over to Boston in 17 and 18. What about players, though? Should they just get out of this scot-free? This is the Fan. I shouldn't have even said that. That's what everyone says to me.
It drives me insane. And, you know, I'm not mad at you, but that's what people do.
Someone literally said that to me yesterday. I told them to leave me alone.
Just have one.
And then I said the exact same
thing. Here's what you do. I have it figured out. Why don't you just take that ass away from me?
Before
I flip.
When someone says just, it's infuriating.
Of course, that's right. Just do that.
People are telling me chicken is money. Twitter.
I've seen that at FunnyDanny at Grant H. Paulson. You learn something. You got to be open to learning.
You know what else is money? Money.
Currency.
Doesn't have to be chicken.
Denominations.
It could just be money. Money. You could say, take care of your money. Take care of your bank account.
Your dollars. Your financial situation.
Take care of your checkbook. Take care of your purse.
I can even do pockets. Pockets aren't necessarily money themselves, but oftentimes money's.
What happened to say keep your pockets straight? That's not good. Clinton Portis used to talk about having deep pockets.
Portis, pockets straight.
Now he'd say, if in the 2020 version of the interview, Portis, chicken straight.
Chicken is fine. I don't know, man. It's hard. I know I'm old. It's what old people do. They do this, or they get angry at the young people
for
saying stuff.
This is how I know I'm getting old.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm starting to get, it used to be I just occasionally didn't know terms. Now I get annoyed by terms.
Yeah.
Like, I hear the term chicken for money, and I think that's stupid.
You're like,
don't
that
say
doesn't
that.
Make any sense.
Right.
And now you're like, really?
I know what chicken
it.
Is, yeah. And I know what money is. And chicken is not money.
Chicken's not money. I'm telling you, the first time it happens to you is when a classic or a song that you grew up with or a song that you're like, this is like, you know, at the time you were cool for liking is on the classic station. That right there, it's downhill. It's over.
You age 15 years in that moment.
Your IRA, your 401k, you are an adult and you are old in that moment.
IRA and 401k means you got chicken, though.
Plenty of chicken, but you can't access it for a long time.
Here's what you should do today.
Huh.
Didn't you recently have a meeting with like a financial advisor?
I did, yes.
I want you
my
to
buddy
call
Tripp
that
at Northwestern Mutual.
What's his name?
Tripp Kelly.
I think I offend a lot of your friends when I say stuff like this. Of course, the financial advisor's name is Tripp.
But it's not like I grew up with him and went to school with him.
He probably went to St. Albans,
He did not.
Are you sure?
I'm positive.
Is it two P's?
It is two P's.
Of course it is.
That's for financial security.
Guess where he went? Landon.
I don't know.
If he didn't go there, he went to Landon.
I actually don't know where he went to high school.
Can you find out for me?
I'll see if I can look it up for
you. Yeah. Go ahead and look that up. But the point of my story is, call up Tripp and say, hey, Tripp, how's my chicken today? And just see if he knows what you're talking about.
Okay.
Or be like, email him right now and just be like, hey, just checking in on the chicken.
We are having a running dialogue. I will do that.
Just say, want to check in on the chicken. Any progress? And see what he says.
What's store with my chicken, friend? Eggs had a chance to hatch yet?
I'll do that with the guy that handles my $15 a month that I give him. Talk about someone that's just not getting whatever work they're putting in back. The guy that helps me with my measly finances. Like, maybe he's hoping, like, 25 years from now this is going to pay off. I wouldn't hope that if I was him.
Yeah, this is a total side note.
Okay.
We had a meeting the other day. It's a big deal to, like, my wife and I.
Sure.
Obviously, you're middling, just trying to, like, what if we took this dollar from savings and invested it? You know, I mean, just, yeah. It's just so minimal.
We're not on the Cake Sawville plan.
Yeah, and I'm wondering, they've got staff members. Like, Tripp is a great dude. He likes dealing with, like, huge amounts of money from different people.
Second P is for great dude.
I'm like, what is he getting out of this? Do you know what I mean? Like, what are
yes.
he, like, he's got other coworkers. I'm like, and the whole time, after about, like, 30 minutes of answering my dumb questions, I'm like, so what is an IRA exactly?
I think the same thing whenever I talk to my guy.
You know what I mean? And I'm going.
Where I'm like, he's not making money.
This is a waste of his time.
It's got to be a waste of his time.
I thought that the other day. And, like, dealing with me in my emails, because I'm the king of, you explained it to me in the room, and because I'm not trained in this, but at least I took geology and, like, feminist literature in college. Thanks very much, university
well,
systems.
So two things. One, I think he probably assumes, like, 20 years from now, he'll be in a place where he's making some money.
Right. It might be worth it. But, like, so what he has to do for me is he'll explain it to me so that any, like, a dog could get it. A child mm-hmm. could walk away understanding.
Same.
And I go, that makes perfect sense. I understand. And then I've got to go explain it to somebody else 30 minutes later, and I have no idea what I'm talking about.
If you missed any part of the first hour of the show or our interview with Mike Jones, you can go to radio.com. That's the app. It's a great app. I'm not just telling you that. I mean that. I listen to the radio.com app daily at this point, and it's the best app for listening and streaming sports talk radio that's ever existed. I love it. Hop around market to market. Everything's a click away. You can use the rewind function, which is also awesome. I'll be honest with you. Hated the idea when I first heard it.
Oh, I didn't like it.
Went to the boss and said, really?
What are we doing?
We're doing this rewind function? Why are we doing this? I now use it daily. It's great. It's very, very cool. Get the radio.com app. Use the rewind function. Go back in time. Listen to the show that way if you don't want to grab the podcasts at grantanddanny.com. We talked about this yesterday, so you can actually rewind that. But I want to get into it right now as well, and that is because we have a new development. So yesterday, we already knew that the Astros had fired Jeff Luhnow, the general manager, and they'd fired A.J. Hinch, their manager. And in addition to that, they were launching their own investigation to look into some of the other employees who may or may not have been involved before they appoint new people to run different posts for them, right? Now, the Boston Red Sox have fired, or at least parted ways
with.
They're not saying they fired this guy, but I'm just going to tell you.
Yeah, I'm saying that.
They fired this guy. Alex Cora is out. And if you... I don't know how many people actually read the 9-page document, but if you're in any way plugged in on this, Alex Cora in 2017 was as close to a ringleader of this operation of cheating as there was when he was the bench coach of the Astros. The manager, A.J. Hinch, hated it, told him and players as such, twice damaged the technology and the screens they were using to cheat, but didn't actually do anything to prevent it beyond that, and that's why he got fired. But when you heard that Alex Cora set the system up, he originally did it to help out his buddy Carlos Beltran, who was struggling. Beltran was like the first player supposedly to benefit from this immensely.
Uh-huh.
That the whole thing got going with those two guys. By the way, Beltran, now the manager of the Mets, should be called into question majorly at this point. He's kind of next under the crosshairs, I'd imagine. But Cora ran the show in 2017 through the playoffs to the World Series, then went to Boston. They got caught in 2018 with the Apple Watch scandal. They supposedly were using a very similar technology in 2018. So you knew when you heard all that, Danny, and you said mm-hmm. this yesterday, he's going to get crushed as well.
Yeah.
I thought 1 year suspension. Boston, before they even heard what's going to happen to him, and I'm sure a suspension will still come down, fired him outright. But I mention all this to say this, Danny. We found out yesterday from the commissioner that no one that plays is going to be in trouble. None of the guys whose batting averages benefited, who hit the home runs, I don't know who benefited the most. Is it Altuve who's won an MVP award, or Bregman who's an MVP, or Carlos Correa who's going to get hundreds of millions of dollars? I have no idea.
You saw what it looked like when they know what's coming. Now, they weren't doing it, apparently, in the World Series. At least the Nats had some sophistication. But when Strasburg was tipping his pitches, you saw Yuri Gurriel pull his hands inside on a fastball in his kitchen and drill it off the wall like it was nothing. You saw George Springer tattoo balls off the wall. You saw how comfortable guys were taking those swings. Imagine that, but over a season. And that's what you had with the Astros. That's what you had. It is a big deal to know what's coming. It's a bigger deal than injecting a needle in your butt that makes you lift more. I'm telling you that right now. It matters 10,000 times more.
You can't do much more to help yourself.
Seriously.
But the question now is this. Should players be punished? They're punishing from the top down. Not ownership, Jim Crane, who kind of got away scot-free yesterday. But Luno directly under him, and the manager, and now the bench coach, who's become a manager. I don't know what they'll do with Carlos Beltran, who was a player, isn't anymore now. He's a manager. I think he's got to get some type of suspension. His name was named in this.
Yeah, he's the
name.
And
now he manages. So you were using this practice, working directly with your bench coach, and now you run a team? You mean to tell me you're not going to be skeptical of the Mets if they start having some crazy renaissance-type season this year? They got to do something with Beltran, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Have to. But should players be punished? Correa, Springer, and the Astros. Any of the Red Sox in 2018, perhaps, if we find out that those guys directly work with Cora in this regard. Yes or no? Or keep it above the players, keep them out of it. 800-636-1067. Double play. Non-sports. What's going on in our lives at 11:45? We're Grant and Danny. With Danny, I'm Grant, and you're locked into The Fan. We're on Twitter if you don't want to call us.
It's at Funny Danny for me, at Grant H. Paulson. H is so important right in the middle. Grant H. Paulson for Grant.
Gonzalo says about players not getting in trouble for cheating with the Astros, but the manager, the GM getting fired, and now their bench coach, who's the manager of the Boston Red Sox, Alex Cora, also having lost his job. This charade is like catching the intellectual authors of a crime and letting the material authors walk away. Yeah, the people
that's
that
a great way to put it.
It is. The people that went into the bank and did the dirty work.
But the mastermind of the job waiting for his payment. Yeah,
they're just walking scot-free. And the people that said, okay, show up at 11. The security guy's name is off the clock. He's about to get robbed. That's fine if you go in there and you rob him. But the guys that are helping you rob him and setting the whole system up, they're going to do the hard time. Kevin says every player involved needs to be punished. Make them ineligible for the postseason. Whatever number of playoff years they've cheated during, they're suspended for that number of playoffs. I mean, that's interesting. That's huge. It's aggressive. It's excessive. But if we're really throwing the book at the Astros, we want to get the players involved. His point is if you find out that Altuve was a part of three Astros teams that were doing this in the playoffs, 17, 18, 19, then he doesn't get to play in his next three playoffs that his teams qualify for.
It's just, it's so hard. And let me give two schools of thought here super quickly. Number one, do you know what at bats? How many times he used it or didn't use it? Or you can never prove that sort of thing. You can say about
the system. No, but if he did it at all, I think people would say he was in on it.
Right. But I guess this to me is super, super, super hard to prove. This part of it, right?
Agreed.
The people at the top, you could figure out that this was in place, this system, the replay. Like, for example, I haven't heard anything about the guys that are in the replay booth, where this is where the violation is. The live video feed is supposed to be used so guys can walk back upstairs and go, was that pitch a strike or what was my swing looking like on that one?
Yeah.
They're doing it in real time. Those guys need to be punished, and I haven't heard anything about that. I haven't heard anything along the lines of down in the trenches here. But it's really hard to prove for the players. If a guy used it one time, or you do it in the same thing as someone who used it 1,000 times, I don't know.
Well, you know how I feel, too. I don't think the Astros were the only teams doing this.
There's that.
I know that the Red Sox have come out as well. The Astros, for what it's worth, I saw when reading a bunch on this yesterday, told the commissioner they have evidence of 8 teams doing it, as many as 8.
Mm.
That sounds to me like I failed my test, and I'm telling my dad a lot of other kids did, too. I'm not really sure if that's true. But I feel this way about the Hall of Fame. People want to keep anyone out of the Hall of Fame, essentially, that has any kind of evidence that they did steroids. And my point is, a lot of people were doing steroids we have no evidence of, that we have no idea that they were competing against. So you can't penalize them and then not penalize someone else. Like, we don't think Frank Thomas did steroids, even though he's the biggest guy in the world, because he was always talking and adamant about being super clean. There's not really much speculation that he did anything. But nobody knows anything. We're just saying, well, I think that guy did it, but we never heard about this guy, so he probably didn't. I don't think you can legislate that way, which I feel the same way about with the Astros when I know what they did. I just don't know what other teams were doing either. Doesn't mean you can't come down on them, but it needs to be considered, I think, when you're trying to dole out punishments, that maybe this was more wide-reaching than we knew.
And that relates to my second school of thought, is just because it's hard doesn't mean you should just throw your hands up and say, oh, well, we're just not going to do anything. And again, I don't know what the CBA permutations are. I don't know if the players' union would object to it. I don't know. This is uncharted territory. We haven't been in an era before where you've got live video that can be used for this sort of stuff. You didn't have Apple Watches when they were figuring out the punishments or the CBA 20 years ago. That didn't exist. To me, because it's hard doesn't mean it's not worthwhile to try to figure out something to do for these players.
Mike, what do you make of the players not getting in any trouble and the commissioner saying they won't?
I think that all these players should be held accountable. How are you teaching young kids watching a sport what's right and what's wrong? They cheated. It's not like they stole signs like every kid has done when they played ball from Babe Ruth League all the way through high school, college, and beyond. These guys use technology to cheat, and I don't think it's I think it's a worse offense than what Pete Rose did betting against his team.
100%.
Or betting for his team.
It is a worse offense, there's no doubt. I mean, I don't know if I even want to get into legislating that, because next thing you know, we get 50 calls on that debate, and I don't know if it's worth having today. We talked about an NFL player who went to Vegas and got in trouble and barred from the league for a year or two because he bet on football. You know, he bet on the first half of the Cardinals. I think he even bet against his team, by the way, which is ridiculous. But he did. He was under contract with the Cardinals, wasn't active, but he went to Vegas and he did that during one of their games this year. The reason that the league went so hard against that guy, and I was way more adamant that they needed to than you were, is because you, especially with gambling becoming more and more legal and more prevalent, you need to make sure that the integrity of your game holds up. And so they threw the book at Pete Rose for a reason. They didn't care who he bet on and what the details were. You just can't have that. And I agree with that completely. I mean, all the way back to the Black Sox scandal. We got a tweet from our buddy who listens, Ryan Spader, who covers Major League Baseball. And this was pretty interesting. He said, home and road splits here. Remember, the Astros only cheated at home. You can't really do this on the road.
You can't do your video thing on the road.
Because you need the camera going to your screen, which is set up outside your dugout. So it's only home games.
Yeah, visitors wouldn't be allowed to. You wouldn't let that go down.
And in fact, in the original report in The Athletic by Ken Rosenthal, who's been great in breaking a lot of this with ESPN's Jeff Passan, kind of the two of them doing the heavy lifting nationally, Rosenthal actually said that they didn't cheat on the road, but there were comments in the clubhouse like, I can't wait to get back to Minute Maid Park so we can bang those trash cans. You know, I can't wait so we're back home because I'm in a bit of a slump here. Well, if you actually look at the numbers.
Oh, my God, they're identical.
Since 2017 for the Astros. Home and road, .270 batting average in both places. On-base percentage, .343, .342. Slugging percentage, .465, .468. They get on base 0.01% of the time more at home. They actually slug better on the road, and their batting average is the exact same.
The exact same.
That is a shot against, you know, and I haven't for 1 second thought, like Alex Bregman and Jose Altuve and Carlos Correa, these guys who were top draft picks. Bregman was second.
Yeah,
Correa was
stars
first.
Without this.
They're going to be fine without it. Everyone's acting like the Astros would be some mediocre 500 team if this didn't happen. I don't believe that for a second. Andre in Manassas, what's up?
I am doing well. Yeah, I think absolutely everybody should be penalized in this particular situation. Listen, you know, I've never been upset with baseball players when it comes to PEDs for the sole reason because people take cortisone shots all the time, and if that's not performance enhanced, I don't know what is. So, but this cheating, and you know the person I feel the most for is Clayton Kershaw. I mean, when I saw Soto hit the home run off of him and he was in the dugout by himself, this man had a look of absolute disbelief. And if you look at the back of the 3 World Series where he, you know, fans want to say he choked, but you realize he didn't choke. These guys cheated, and something needs to be done. I don't know if you have to put an asterisk or whatever next to the World Series for these guys, because 100 years from now, when we're all gone, people need to know that Clayton Kershaw was probably the baddest dude on the planet, but people had to cheat to beat him, because he's probably I know a lot of, Nats fans are saying that if we had lost this series, but Clayton Kershaw lost twice. I mean, yeah. Something has to be done to make Clayton Kershaw right.
Thanks, Dre. I'll be curious to see how hard and adamant players come out against what they did, because you can't throw stones if you know your team's doing it. Like, I want to know, what is the Dodgers' response to this going to be? Because there has long been speculation about the Dodgers, too.
Uh-huh.
Now, I won't get into all the details, because all it is an allegation. But my point is, teams for years have said the Dodgers are doing things that they shouldn't be doing. I want to know, does Dave Roberts come out and crush them? Does Clayton Kershaw? If you don't hear a lot from other players, I think that's telling.
I think it's telling,
like, Sean
too.
Sean Doolittle came out and killed the Astros when he heard this, remember? We had him on the show to talk about it. I loved that because it gave me some extra confidence. If he knew the Nats were doing something shady, he probably wouldn't come out, because you don't want to throw that stone because you look like an idiot.
I'm telling you. It's
when it comes
same,
back on you.
The same way you don't see managers go out like, yeah, that guy's doctoring the ball, because three guys in his bullpen 100%. Are going, hey, dude.
Yeah, I used to say that all the time. When Jeremy Hellickson pitched for the Phillies, I remember one day he just kept rubbing his arm and he had this clear substance. And I'm like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And I'm texting everyone. I finally text someone with the Nationals and I said, why don't you get someone to do something about this? This guy's having this weirdly good year. He's now a National, by the way. And he's pitching well against you today, and he's clearly – and they're like, dude, do you realize if we went out there, six of our guys would be in trouble too? They all do it for grip and different purposes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But you're not allowed to actually send anyone out there because they might do it to you. Grant and Danny on the Fan. We could take a few more of your calls if you'd like. Should players be in trouble that were involved in this sign-stealing scandal? Should you keep it to the higher-ups who allowed it to happen? 800-636-1067. Also next, our daily double play. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sport. Steamrolling toward noon, we will kick off the Beltway Blitz in 13 minutes with the Redskins. They have announced their entire coaching staff. Couple of names on there we weren't anticipating. We'll talk with J.P. Finley about that. The Capitals are idle, but they got a big contract in place with Nicholas Backstrom. Steve Wino of the Associated Press on the NHL. Should we be worried about Pittsburgh, who overcame plenty of injuries recently, and they're getting Sidney Crosby back, had a 7-goal game with Crosby, 4 points and a goal last night in his return. We'll get into all that on our Blitz, but right now it is time for our double play. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. I've got a list here, Danny, of the top 10 most anticipated movies of 2020.
Oh, okay.
This is from Eric Davis, who you hear on Chad's show from Fandango. He's their managing editor. He said, Happy New Year. Here are the year's 10 most anticipated movies, according to over 2,000 fans surveyed by Fandango. Wonder Woman 1984, our girl Gal Gadot. Gadot, whatever her name is.
Preview looks pretty cool for it. It's
yes,
got that
it does.
Right, like 80s, it's kind
you
of feel to it.
You saw the first Wonder Woman, I'm
yeah,
sure?
Yeah, really good.
I loved it.
Really good.
That was a great movie. Second film, by the way, this is just littered with superhero movies,
uh-huh,
which shouldn't surprise anybody. Black Widow is the second most anticipated movie of 2020. Black Widow is, this is going to be your Scarlett Johansson, mm-hmm, like Avengers spinoff. Now, where she gets her own film.
Taskmaster is in it for comic book fans. He's an awesome villain, so I hope they do him justice.
Rumored that we get a Tony Stark appearance from our boy Robert Downey Jr.
Oh, really? Still in the movies.
That would be nice. Otherwise, it's kind of everything that you've been banking on. Some of the same characters. Eternals. Now, I didn't have any file on this whatsoever, so I had to look it up on IMDb. The saga of the Eternals, a race of immortal beings who lived on Earth and shaped its history and civilizations. Any file?
It's very minimal. I mean, Chad would run circles around me in terms of what he knows. I know that my buddy Kumail Nanjiani is in it, which is pretty incredible.
That's the one he got ripped for?
Yeah.
Dude, he looks like he is shooting all kinds of things into his
shredded
body.
Shredded, and he worked his you-know-what off.
I bet he did.
And he doesn't like doing it either. He's a comic who just wants to be lazy, and he did an incredible job.
It's crazy to me that you're boys with him.
We're not like best friends or anything,
you worked with him in New York.
We're just doing open mics, and one of us did this, and the other guy's in a Marvel movie. No big deal.
Which one's which? Wait.
It's fine. It's fine. I mean, it's fine. It's fine. It's fine. It's literally fine. I'm just saying it's fine. Grant, it's fine.
No, I know it's fine.
I know it's fine, too. I know it's fine. It's fine. It's fine that he had a show on HBO. It's fine. It's fine he produced his own movie.
The Big Sick.
Yeah, that's the one.
I loved it.
I loved it too, Grant.
It won awards.
It deserved to win the awards.
That guy is a superstar.
He really is.
It's fine.
He is. It's fine. It's fine. It's not like we're booked on the same shows all the time doing similar stuff. You know what? You know, you remember, but the thing I didn't tell you about is the
Wait, you said you know, you remember.
Yeah, no, because I'm what my brain's going 1,000 miles an hour. You remember I told you about the holding deal I got with NBC, right? Which basically.
Oh, no, we're going down a tough path now for Danny.
This is true. This is a true thing. No, what a holding deal is they're like, listen, we want to be in business with you. We love you. Don't do anything until you give us your show ideas. Oh, wait, that was Kamel too. Not me.
Oh, it wasn't
that
you.
Wasn't me at all.
Oh, I thought you were telling us about like the one that got away.
Nope, didn't get away from me. He got it. $500,000 just to hold on to his ideas.
So when you and him were at your height as pals, like in New York doing things, were you guys both doing the same stand-up shows like multiple times a week?
Yeah, I mean, you just see each other on the circuit like all the time.
I'm joking.
That dude was a superstar like right away.
But you're doing completely even footing. Where you're just both like, it's not like he's headlining and like you're there. Like you guys are just two comics at a show.
Yeah. So So you're doing like either showcases or mics or, you know, different like Tuesday night at Caroline's or like Thursday night at Gotham or whatever. You're just sort of doing different shows. The headline stuff is for like the Bill Burrs, Jim Norton's the big deal.
What year is this?
This is like 2007, 2006, 2007, 2008.
Because your stand-up is tremendous. And I'm not just saying that.
You're very funny.
You're very polished. If I went in 2007 and watched you guys, would I say, oh, that guy, and point at you, he's fine. That guy is unbelievable. Like, was it heads and shoulders?
You would see, there are a few guys in our class, kind of around there, where you would say that. You'd see me and you go, I've seen that. It's pretty funny. Like, he's fine, right? There's nothing wrong with what I'm doing, unless you're like permanently offended, then you wouldn't like me. But you would look at John Mulaney, you'd look at Kumail Nanjiani, you'd see Pete Holmes. And you'd go, those guys are different.
Pete Holmes is the guy that I can't stand SNL?
Do you not like Pete? No. That's Pete Davidson.
Pete Davidson. God, I can't stand Pete Davidson.
Yeah, that's a different.
You know what I don't like
color.
About him is how unfunny he is.
That's a factor.
But, okay, so Pete Holmes, I do know who that is.
You'd come to shows and you'd see.
He did shows with him, too.
Yeah, you'd come to shows and see John Mulaney and you'd go, that's different. That guy's going to have 77 Netflix specials.
Right.
You'd see me and you go, oh, he's fine. You go, he belongs on this stage. He's okay. He's not embarrassing himself. But those guys were different. You just knew.
The cast, other than Kamel Nanjiani, by the way, and it is fine, by the way.
It's fine. I'm saying it's fine. Why don't people believe me?
You got Kit Harington, your boy from Game of Thrones.
Winter is coming.
You
the
got
Night King.
Angelina Jolie, Salma Hayek. I mean, it's a who's who.
Dude, the
cast
is amazing.
For that Eternals movie. So that lists as the number three most anticipated movie, Mulan, which is going to be a smash for kids, families, whatever.
Is that a kids movie?
I think so. It's Mulan.
I saw like a
Mulan
preview for it.
Mulan is a Disney movie.
Well, I saw it. So Star Wars. But, like I saw a preview for it and there's like a lot of swords, but it's a kids movie for sure?
I assumed. I mean, Mulan is a movie that like my wife loved when she was eight.
Uh-huh.
I'm just assuming. Okay. Maybe I'm wrong. No Time to Die is the new 007 James Bond movie. Please tell me that, is Daniel Craig still James Bond?
Yep, I'm looking at a picture of him right now.
That's an old James Bond. This might be the final ride for him.
I love Daniel Craig as Bond.
I think we're
on a wing. People don't like him as much as we do.
Dude, really? He's a great Bond.
Love him as Bond.
He's not Pierce Brosnan, but he's a great Bond. You a Pierce Brosnan guy?
You give me Daniel Craig over Pierce Brosnan.
Ooh,
every
okay.
time. Every time and twice on Sunday.
A Quiet Place Part 2. Didn't see the first one.
The first one's great.
A lot of people told me it was awesome.
Do you not like any kind of horror type movies?
I'm not a horror
like
guy.
This one's
more suspense, right?
Yeah, I don't like
that much either.
There's horror elements to it. I'm telling you, it's excellent.
And then rounding out the top 10 of movies people are most excited about this year, Birds of Prey.
The new Harley Quinn DC thing?
Looks terrible.
How is Top Gun not in there?
Top Gun's not in the top 10.
I can't believe that.
In the Heights, Soul, and Fast and the Furious 9. Fast and the Furious 9, Dar, should be number 3 on this list. You and I need to go to that film together on opening night.
Top Gun Maverick isn't in anybody's top 10.
It's pretty surprising.
Redo the top 10. It's like when they do on Family Feud, they go to the shopping mall and ask 100 people. Which 100 people?
So that's your top 10 most anticipated films.
Wow.
Remember, it's fine.
It's fine. It's fine. I don't know why people think it's not fine. It's fine.
I think everyone knows it's fine.
People are seeming like they don't know it's fine.
Tom knows it's fine.
It's fine.
Great.
It's totally fine.
It's fine. I like that one. It's totally
it's fine. You do that one with a shrug, it's fine.
Yeah.
You got to do it's fine, shake your head, and go up 10 octaves. It's fine. It's fine. I'm just saying it's fine. People don't play apps.
This reminds me of like a Keegan-Michael Key bit or something. Is that his right name? Did I say his name wrong?
Keegan-Michael.
It's a bunch of weird words together.
Did you add like the other guy too, Jordan Peele? Did you say Keegan-Michael Jordan Peele? Is that what
I don't think I did.
It's fine.
Wasn't in Jordan Peele for the Redskins at some point? Jordan Peele.
Jordan something.
Jordan Pugh.
Pew. It's fine.
Everything's fine.
It's fine.
Beltway Blitz at noon on Grant and Danny. It is fine.
It's fine. It's fine. It is. It's totally fine. You can be passed over for just about everything. Still got a great deal at Ted Britt Ford. I got a gasser for that. Unbelievable. Well, I don't need gas in my Ford Fusion that I got from Ted Britt Ford. It's charging up downstairs. That's a transition. Yeah. Put that guy in a movie. Anyway. It's a great place to go to buy your car, truck, SUV. I love Tempered Ford. 3-time Tempered customer. These guys are the best, man. I got the Fusion I mentioned. My wife's got the Ford Edge. We love it. Great time right now to go see them. You get some pretty awesome deals. Here's some of those deals I'll give them to you. Rattle them off. $9,000 off a new 2020 Ford Explorer. No payments for 60 days on that bad boy. More on that in a second. 2019 Mustang, $9,000 off the MSRP. No payments for 60 days. You can get yourself an F-150 from Ted Britt Ford. Number one truck in America. How about $15,000 below the MSRP? No payments for 60 days. That old no payments for 60 days thing. Here's the reason for that. Ted Britt Ford's been in business now for more than 60 years. You see the 60-60 whole thing? It's like E-60 except without the E. What you're going to do is not pay them very much when you do pay them, and you don't pay them anything for basically 2 months. You got to go see my guys at Ted Britt Ford. They will treat you spectacularly well. Better than the entertainment industry treated me. Go see them in Fairfax and Camp Kelly. I tell them.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.